Welcome back. Friday, it's after 11 o'clock, which means it's Leicester Tester. Remember earlier in the week, I said there was a little bit of a domestic dispute in the Kivett household. My wife is pregnant. She grew up in the Northern Cape, lived a little bit in Pretoria. She craves now pop in certain times of a pregnancy. The thing is, you can't make pop in a small batch. She makes a huge pot. And then there's an argument because I don't eat it. What must she do with all this pop now? Because you know, pregnant woman, the cravings come and go. And so there was a little bit of a dispute. So I came on air and I said that, you know, there's something about Cape Townians. We don't have that refined palate like the rest of the country. Pop never got its footplick here, and we had food historians in to tell us why. We had some of your experiences as well. And so our team got working. Unbeknownst to me, they got in touch with the Capsicum Culinary Studio. It's a cooking school who said that they will now try and convert me into a pop lover. Joining me now is Nelly Msisi. She's a student advisor, chef lecturer. Is it chief lecturer or chef lecturer?
Chef.
Bashal Buerta. And also the person who's doing, I guess, the dog work in our little kitchen here next to us is Byron Williams. He's a student. But firstly, Nelly, thank you so much for agreeing to come in studio with us. Tell us a little bit about Capsicum Culinary Studio. What does it do? How do you particularly facilitate young people to learn about not just cooking, but real culinary cooking?
Okay, we, as Capsicum, we belong to... we belong to like the largest educational group in South Africa, which is Advertech. We are the chosen preferred school in the culinary arts, and then we have about 6 campuses across nationally, and then so we as Capsicum, we actually don't sell products, but we actually help the student. We mentor them to achieve their dreams. We coach them. So how we help the young people is like as our ambassadors. We help them to achieve their dreams. And then Chef Shal knows this because of he actually like the one who is always in class, and then he's coaching and mentoring the students. You can just say.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on my stance, Chef Shal, is that pop hasn't really found a footplick here in Cape Town. The Cape Townians, unlike the rest of the country, aren't necessarily used to pop.
Yeah.
Rice is more of our staple. Yes. Your thoughts on that?
I think it is more like a cultural type of thing. It's where you come from, up north, more to the Free State and Transvaal, the Northern Province, Gauteng, those areas, they would normally have a lot more people eating pap as a staple food. Also, right across Africa, actually, as you move up to the Congo, Mozambique, those places, they concentrate on pap as a staple food. Even in Italy, we have, for instance, polenta. That they will also eat. So
that is it. I stomach polenta. It's usually just like a schmear on a plate, yes. And your steak is on there. That is what I kind of know. But a duck staver pop with just flace and gravy, I don't know just yet. But you are here to show me the way.
Yeah.
So up next. We're on the Morning Review and Leicester Tester. It's Pop Idol. We are trying out different levels of pop, caramel pop, staver pop, putu pop, whatever pop here with Chef Schauburter. Okay, what do we have first here? Oh, it smells delicious here in the studio.
The first one we have is a pup that we made, where we actually, when we steamed the pup, the crummel pup, the putu pup, we added in peas and mealies. Ooh. So it was steamed with the peas and the mealies, so it'll have a taste of the peas and the mealies inside the pup. And then we just made a tomato and onion and chili relish to go on top of that. Yeah,
this is absolutely pretty. I've moved the relish aside so I can look into the bowl, and it looks very dry. Is that what stable pup putu pup is?
Because it's a putu pup crumble, it will look a bit drier than other pup, but because you don't want it to be wet, when it's still a lot wet, you'll find that it will taste lumpy, and it does taste as if it's not cooked properly.
I've had other forms of pup. I think this would be the first time I'm having crumble pup. So let's have a taste. If you want to grab a bowl yourself, you can tell me what I'm experiencing here. So let's have a listen.
Okay.
It's very dry.
That's why it comes always with the relish. You have to eat it with the relish to get it palated.
It's not bad. And the person who is our real critic here is Johannes. He is in studio with me now. Petty man who knows his crumble pup, his staver pup. I'm going to give you my verdict now on my first taste here of crumble pup. I'm tasting some of bready, but a lovely bready type of texture.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, your first thoughts, Johannes?
Before, Lester. In order to enjoy that, you're supposed to with the gravy.
Okay, let me have it now with the gravy. But your thoughts, so long. Or you want my thoughts first?
Sound test. You remind me I should go home now.
Okay, let's have a taste with your relish. Lovely and tomato-y. There's a little bit of a spice there.
Yeah.
The acidity and the tartness coming from the tomato, of course.
Yeah, true.
And with the crumble pup in the spoonful, it is a lovely relish to me. And the only thing I can liken it to is some lovely bread. That goes well together. It complements each other well.
Yeah.
This is delicious. Mm-hmm. Where are you from, Sean?
I was born in Clarksdorp in the northwest, but I grew up that side of the world. Pop was part of our, when there was a bride, was Pop and Sos. That's what it was, or Pop Tat even, where you make a stiff, or what we call in Afrikaans a staver pup, and then you would add. You would also make a relish like this, where you add in bacon and you add in mushrooms and peppers and everything, and you build it up in layers, and then you put grated cheese on top of that and you bake it in the oven, and it's just divine.
Okay, let us run through your next sample. I have so many questions, but I know you have so many things for us to try. Okay. So what is next up on our pup idol contestants? We had the crumble pup with gravy. Who's up next?
The next one we have is we made a curry mince.
This is very Binnenland Cape Malay fusion here, because it looks like a nice Cape Malay mince curry.
Yeah, instead of using the rice, we took crumble pup, the putu pup then, and we instead of the rice, we used the pup.
Okay. So,
together with the curry mince.
While I try this, what is then your thoughts on the assertion? And we had a food historian in India, in culinary school, you also then talk about regional palates, regional ingredients, why certain parts of the world or a country eats a certain type of food.
Yeah.
The Cape's reliance or the use of rice as a staple. Why is rice big here? but pap as your other ingredient in other parts of the country, you know, the thing there.
I think the reason for that, I think, is because of that we live close to the coast, firstly, and that, well, normally at the coast we eat, we tend to eat a lot more fish. Mm. So rice will fit a better fit with fish, actually. But I have a surprise for you guys, because I actually made a pup with pilchards as well, that will also be coming up. But pilchards and spinach.
Oh, this is like my, this is like my auntie's mince curry. And I did not think that a mince curry would go well with pap, because a lot of the curry oils and juices are being sapped up by the pup, and
yes,
that curry flavor,
yeah,
you know, going into the pup, into, and it's absorbing quite well.
Yeah, that, what the maize does and what the pup does is that it absorbs the sauces, so that flavors gets infused into the pup, and that's what makes it so delicious.
Mm. Gosh, excuse me for stuffing my mouth here, but I'm enjoying myself. We're speaking to chef, a lecturer at the Capsicum Culinary Studio, Charles Buerto. He's joined in studio by Nelly Msizi, who's providing us with these lovely testers of all different types of food with variants of crumb or pop. Is student Byron Williams. Hopefully when he's done in our kitchen, he will come say hello here with us.
Yes.
Charles. But let's go back to Brian. And I spoke about the difficulty of a Cape Townian going to a Gauteng braai.
Yeah.
When we're here in Cape Town, we have braais, and Joe's been in my house and his braai there. It's meat, but with side dishes of noodles, and it's potato salad, and there's a Greek salad and all different types of bread. But when you go to a braai up in the north, it is simply just vleis, pap in sauce. It's a difficulty for a Cape Townian, eh?
Yeah, they call it braai pap. It's a braai pap because of it's much softer than your normal cream or pap.
Yeah.
So what then does that add to the meal? What does it do then in your mouth?
Like, it's much, like when it comes to pap, like it's much softer, and then you are able to swallow it. Like, you know when you're eating your, like, normal potato, like here in Cape Town, you spoke about potato salad. So, like, with that pub, it does help, like, it's much better.
Yeah, and as I said, especially with, if there's meat with marinades and things like that, what the pub does is it absorbs. When you have your salads, the mayonnaise and the salad, it doesn't actually absorb the flavors of the meat, where this actually pup absorbs the flavors and the oils and the gravies from the other meats and stuff around it. So, and that makes it a lot enjoyable.
Sean, talk to me about what you then try to instill in a culinary school. And when we think normally of styles of fine dining, we often have a Western idea of what fine dining is. How do you want to transpose that, but looking at the indigenous flavors, styles, and types of cooking that we have here in South Africa?
Well, South Africa is a melting pot of styles. There's so many different cultures that we have here. So it's one of those things where it's very difficult to select only one or two or a few of them. If you want to really go for traditional restaurants in South Africa, you'll have to open a wide variety with every to touch on every culture, for that matter. But I think it's important that we try to get our students, and I always say to them, ask them, especially the ones that want to open restaurants, what do you want to open? And they say they want to get Italian influences or something. And I said, but why do you want to? Because if people from Italy come to South Africa,
they want to taste
our food. They don't want to eat Italy. They don't want to eat Italian food in South Africa. They want to come here and taste our food. So I think it's we should think more traditional. Our food can be fine dining. We can create it fine dining. I mean, Jan Hendrik did a great job in Nice with Babuati in a Michelin star restaurant. So I think it's not a no. I think it can be done. I think we should cultivate that that inspiration in our students to rather go South African.
I think we have two or maybe three more courses left. We're coming up with 27 myths.
This one and another one.
So we have this one. And this looks interesting. But I don't want to taste it just yet because we're running close to news. What we're going to do, we're going to take you beyond our time slot of what is usually Leicester Tester, because we're enjoying this quite nicely, the variants of pop that I'm trying out and also having a great conversation with you guys. Tell us a little bit more about the Culinary Studio in terms of what you're doing to raise the next level of Michelin star chefs in South Africa. Nelly or Sean, who wants to take that?
Yes, well, it's all in the training. We train our chefs. We teach them all the skills. It's important to have the skills. If you have the basic skills of how to make a proper bechamel, of how to make your proper sauces, your stocks, your soups, that basis can take you anywhere. And that's what we try to instill in our students, the cutting techniques, all of that. So if you have the basis of where to start from, you can actually create anything. Then your imagination is only your limit.
Is it true that one person's huiskos, house food, home food, what your mom or your aunt or your grandparent made, could be another person's fine dining? And yeah. I'm thinking like the mince curry that I just had now. Mince curry, yes. In my house, it was the second thing I learned how to cook. The first when I was early high school, my mom says, look, I work up until the evening, you need to look after yourself. So spaghetti bolognese was the first thing I learned. A decent mince curry was the second thing I learned.
Yeah.
But how do you turn this into something that would be considered fine dining?
It's all about presentation.
Yes. Mm.
It's how you present it to your customer.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily have to, for instance, look that way. Mm-hmm. You can, for instance, make, instead of having just plain the mince as we would know it, make like a mince meatball in curry. Oh. And serve that on a bed of mash or on a polenta or on pap. So it's literally all about the presentation that you do. It's the same thing with a pap. You don't have to necessarily make it the crummel pap. You can make stever pap, and cut cheese into cubes, put cheese in the middle, put it in flour, egg, breadcrumbs, make like a croquet from it and deep fry that.
Croquets are delicious.
So it's all up to you at the end of the day.
Lovely deep fried potato balls. Speaking to Nelly Mzizi, also Shaul Botha there from the Capsicum Culinary Studio. It's Leicester Tester. They're giving me all different variants and styles of pop. Looking forward. I love it when you guys are speaking so that I can get a mouthful. Welcome back. 28 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are listening to The Morning Review. In studio with us is the good people from the Capsicum Culinary Studio. We have student advisor Nelly Mzizi, chef lecturer Shaul Botha, and finally he gets to join us. He's been busy slaving in our kitchen. Byron Williams is a student there. Byron, how are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Oh, you look busy. Your face is a bit flushed, I guess. It's a bit like a... who's that guy? Who's that rude chef again?
Gordon Ramsay,
as you spent like you spent a morning in Gordon Ramsay's kitchen. How are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good. You have it was a simple request, various versions of pop. Are you a regular? Or you come from a home where you've made crumble pop, staver pop?
Well, I come around a home and a family where we make different sorts of food. Like with me, like I grew up in front of a grill since the age of six, so. Oh. Any type of food groups is my passion. It's the reason why I chose capsicum especially.
Guys, we have some interesting things in front of us. I don't know, this looks something that's lighter. But also something I think that is the sardines.
Yeah.
And pup. In terms of what would flow nicely with my palate, Charles, what would you suggest we go with first? The sardines, or we end of what looks like a milky, yogurty...
I'm going to leave the choice to you. I'm going to tell you what the two are, and then I'm going to leave the choice to you to try whatever you want to. So the first one we have here is it's the pilchards that we it's pilchards, chakalaka, and spinach that we sautéed and then added to the pap. Mm. And the other one is a more traditional African type of dish where we have a Bulgarian yogurt, which is your plain yogurt, together with amaz on the crumble pap. So it's a thick milk, cultured milk, together with yogurt on the pap.
And we've got a few messages in that. And Ruben or Ruby Mitchell's Plain says, pap and amazi, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. And then another messenger from, I think it's Gisela or Gisela. I firmly believe that crumble pap should be eaten with mas, sour plain yogurt or buttermilk. I'm a white lady who got introduced to this putu by my mother's housekeeper, who I visited at a kraal. I watched her stirring putu in a huge pot over an open fire in front of a hut. Lovely. I still regularly cook putu, even only for myself. Greetings. Okay, what I'm going to do is, there's been recommendations for the masi and the buttermilk and the pop, so I'm going to go with the sardines first. Okay. Pulchards, rather.
Okay.
Okay. The popular one.
For the last.
Oh. Tito Mbueni would be proud, yeah? with these pulchards. Okay. The crumble pap still has its crummy consistency.
Yeah.
Let me get a nice spoonful here. What are some of your microgreens on there?
Yeah, that's just micro herbs that we micro put on herbs top for garnish.
Okay, let's have a listen. Let's have a taste. Mm. Oh wow. Again, my dad is a big pulchards, Glenrick, Lucky Star, whatever. Mm-hmm. We were younger and it was his turn to cook. It was pulchards. It was easy and you can hardly mess it up. But there's a very interesting flavor to this. And I don't know if it's coming from the pup or if it's coming from the greens, but there's a leveling out on that very fishy taste that you would usually have with pulchards or sardines.
Yeah.
But there's something that's been measured out there. What is that?
It might be the chakalaka that has an influence on the taste of the fish as well. Mm. But yeah.
But this is delicious. What would your favorite be, Byron?
Well, my favorite would be with the curry and the mint.
So far, that is my favorite as well, because it tastes something that is familiar, a lekker Cape Malay minced curry, and then it soaks lovely into that pap. Okay, so I'm now ready to start what everyone is saying is what I should really be eating crumble pap with.
The most popular one, yes.
What do we have here?
So it's just the putu pap, and then it's cultured cream or cultured milk. So it's amaz, and then it's a Bulgarian yogurt, a plain yogurt with that.
Okay. Here goes nothing. 1, 2, 3. My mouth doesn't know if this is dessert or breakfast. Because my palate and my sensory memory is the yogurt and the sour milk. Is breakfast. But the pup is telling my brain it's late in the day.
Yeah.
But this is lovely, excuse me.
Yeah. But if you go to the northern, the inland, you might find out they eat it differently. They will do amasi and pap, right? And then the other people, what they do is they will do amasi and putu pap and sugar. They add sugar.
Add sugar to that as
to that as well.
I'm going to send someone out to get me some sugar right now.
I prefer it without sugar.
Okay, I'm gonna save this for later. And add some sugar to it. But guys, who wins Pop Idol? Can we have the jingle? Can we make a decision here, Johannes? Simon Cowell should be of who is winning Pop Idol. Are we ready?
Not yet.
Oh, Johannes has been stuffing his mouth too much. Okay. On Pop Idol today on the morning review, we started with Crumble Pop and Relish, a simple chakalaka, delicious, soaked up into this pop. Very, very good. Up next, we then had a lovely Cape Malay styled mince curry on a bed of putu pop. Then sardines, pulchards on pop, also lovely. And then finally, the Amasi Bulgarian yogurt on pop. Johannes, what do you go for?
The putua.
But which one?
The first one.
First one. Team behind the screen, what do you get? Number two, I get the deciding vote. And I'm sorry, Johannes, you are outvoted. It is the Malay mince curry, sweet mince curry on the bed of putu pop, decided by us, by the team. It is our pop idol. Guys at the Capsicum Culinary Studio, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate the experience. Very finely, Nelly. If people want to get hold of the studio, of the cooking school, how do they get in touch?
Okay, they can call us on 021-442-0060.
Guys, thanks so much for this experience on Leicester Test on the morning review. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
We are open for applications and registration for 2022. If you want to join us to make putu pop, then you can come to us.
And much more.
And much more.